May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 515. Holy Ghost, we look to thee, raise the dead, the captive free, from the mighty take the prey, teach the weak to watch and pray. Hymn 515.
Thank you. Our scripture reading this evening is taken from the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 30, and into the 31st chapter. Jeremiah's prophecy, chapter 30. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah, saith the Lord. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it." And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. "For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail? And all faces shall turn into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable. For the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. I have done these things unto thee. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all they that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they called thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and my congregation shall be established before me. And I will punish all that oppress them, and their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it, and until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness. Even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest, the Lord have appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant, and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise ye, let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child and her that travaileth with child, together. A great company shall return thither. They shall come. With weeping and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattereth Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine, and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rahel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. They shall come again from the land of the enemy, and there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord. For thy children shall come again to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus: Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented. And after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. Set thee up waymarks, make thee high heaps, set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O virgin of Israel, turn again to these thy cities. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah, and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. The Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice and mountain of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself, and in all the cities thereof together husbandmen, and they that go forth with flocks. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awaked and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious and holy word unto us, and help us now to pray. Once more, most gracious God, we bow before thy holy majesty in the outward form of worship. Grant also that we may bow inwardly in our souls and crown thee Lord of all. We thank thee, Lord, for thy precious and holy word we've read. And we pray that we may be found among those of whom thou hast said, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Draw us by that love this night to thy mercy seat. For the mercies of this thy day we would be thankful. The privilege of meeting in thy courts, being able to come apart from the world and rest a while. We open word of God, the throne of grace available, the preaching of the cross of Christ. And we pray, Lord, this evening that manna to our souls may be given, the bread of life sent down from heaven. Bless thy word unto us. Breathe upon the sacred page and reveal thyself this evening hour to us. And make thyself precious. May we hear thy voice. May we see thy countenance. For sweet is thy voice and thy countenance is comely. Lord, if thou dost come, this place will be a Bethel to each heart that perceives thee. The very gate of heaven. Come, Lord, in thy risen power this night, and grant that the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost may rest upon us from above. Grant help in the pulpit to preach. Grant help in the pews to hear. And grant help as we go forth into the world to walk out thy truth. May we not forget thy word this day. May we walk in it right this week through. May, Lord, we be privileged to walk this week in the very presence of Jesus. Draw near and go with us. But do not depart when we leave thy courts. Abide with us, Lord, during the days of this week. And may we know what it is to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Bless, we pray, this cause of truth. Bless, we pray, the ministry of thy word here. And grant, gracious God, that there may yet be signs following the preaching of thy word. We thank thee, Lord, where there have been those signs following. We give thanks and praise thy holy name. We ask thee, Lord, to continue in thy great goodness. And we ask, Lord, thy special presence here tomorrow. May Jesus himself come and stand in the midst. And may thy servant be helped to exalt Christ. And as he preaches, may thy voice engage every ear. May souls be born again. May saints be confirmed in their hope. May there be the beginning of the work of grace, and may there be a growth in grace. As a result of what is attended here on the morrow, we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast maintained this people. We ask thee, Lord, to continue to maintain them. May thy presence continue to abide here. Thy church, O Lord, that's planted here, O grant it to increase. We pray, Lord, that thou hast add to this church those whom thou hast saved. Add to this congregation from this area those whom it is thy sovereign will to save and to feed under this vine. And grant, gracious God, that prosperity in this house of prayer. And prosper, we pray, thy causes of truth in this land and throughout the world. Bless thy servants. Help them as they stand in thy name this night, be of any who may be unwell and unable to preach. And Lord, we ask that thou wouldst remember us as we draw near at the close of this service, to remember thy dying love and thy victory over sin and death and hell. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst meet with us around that table. May we prove it truly to be the Lord's table in our hearts. May, Lord, we know free grace and dying love. We pray, Lord, for our friend who will sit down for the first time. We ask thee, Lord, if it is thy will, to make it a special occasion for her. May she feel to be at home. May she feel to be in thy presence. And may she have the answer of a good conscience that she's done as thou hast commanded her. And Lord, we believe that yet there is room. Could it please thee to constrain others to come and tell of Jesus and what he's done for them? And grant there may yet be a further ingathering of thy precious harvest here. And in the churches in this land. And now, gracious God, reveal thyself to us as Emmanuel, God with us. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 806, the second part. Come ye backsliding sons of God, for many such there are, who long the paths of sin have trod. Come, cast away despair, return to Jesus Christ, and see there's mercy still for such as we. Hymn 806, the second part.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help, I ask your prayerful attention again to the words we were considering in the morning hour of worship. The Gospel recorded to John, the 20th chapter, verses 15 to 18. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and he had spoken these things unto her. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. First words of the risen Lord. And the first words spoken to him by one of his sheep when she knew him, Master. Could there be a more appropriate first word to address to the risen, triumphant Saviour and Lord than this, Master? Or as the original has it, my Master? My Lord and my Master? That's a literal interpretation. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. With one word. Her sorrow is turned into joy. With one word. The dark clouds are dispersed. With one word, everything is put right. Jesus still speaks this evening to his Marys. Hark, my soul, it is the Lord. 'Tis thy Saviour, hear his word. Jesus speaks and speaks to thee. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Mary loved her Lord. That's why she was there. Mary had a real religion. And if your religion is real, you by faith will go where Mary went, to the cross. To see your Redeemer suffer. To the grave, to see him buried. And then by faith to see him rise with power to save. And yes, then to go and to tell his disciples what you have seen. Wasn't the Lord's will for Mary or the other women to stay behind at that tomb and keep it a secret. They had to go. They had something to tell. Have you got something to tell the Lord's people? And obey your master. Jesus saith unto her, Mary, such a lot in this word, is there not? Jesus knew her when she did not know him. He knows you this evening. He knows all about you. He knew her history. He knew her past. What a past it was. He knew her present distress and her present needs. He knew it was yet to come, though it was unknown to her. And he knows the same with each and every one of us this evening as Almighty God. But in a special way to his people, to his chosen, to his loved ones, does he know them by name? I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. As a hymn writer said, dost thou ask me who I am? Ah, my Lord, thou knowest my name. Yet the question gives a plea to support my suit with thee. Thou didst once a wretch behold. In rebellion, blindly bold, scorn thy grace. Thy power defy, that poor rebel, Lord, was I. Some of you, can you not echo what the hymn writer said? Some of you are still there this evening, rebels. May sovereign grace reach your heart, and may you be made into a child of God. Once a sinner, near despair, sought thy mercy seat with prayer. Mercy came and set him free. Lord, that mercy came to me. Mary could have sung that hymn. And some of you can sing of God's mercy and God's kindness, can you not? Has he not said unto you, Mary? He knows you by name, your need, your course, your circumstance, your cross that may be peculiar to you. He knows all about it. He knows the darkness and the distress, the discouragement. He knows how you do not understand his dealings. But one day you will. If not in time, in eternity. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. It's a promise. And one of the interpretations of that word is this. That there he will explain to you all the dark paths that you went through on earth, which you could not understand why you had to go through them. There will be no tears or scars in heaven. Child of God, the spiritual Marys this evening, he knows you by name. He knows just what you need this evening. For your spiritual health and welfare, he knows whether your soul is healthy or not. He knows whether you've been feeding. What have you been feeding on the past week? Have you been neglecting the word of God? Have you been absenting yourself from the preaching or the word of God or the prayer meeting when you could have been here? Have you been indulging in that hidden lust which you know is wrong, but which your wretched heart loves by nature? And now you wonder why your faith is so weak. And now you wonder why unbelief is so strong and why your heart is hard. Do you want to know the answer? You're starving your soul. Your soul cannot feed. On the worldly pursuits that your natural man loves. You're starving your soul. Your soul cannot feed on that which you have replaced instead of reading the word of God as diligently and lovingly as once you did. And all the while you're feeding your natural man, your sin is getting stronger, your faith is getting weaker. Jesus said unto her, Mary, and this evening he says to you, return. Return. What have you just sung in that precious hymn? 'Tis true, we cannot pretend to much of usefulness or fruit. But yet the love of Christ is such, we still retain the root. Returning prodigal shall find, though they are base, their fathers kind. The indignation of the Lord a while we will endure. For we have sinned against his word, but still his grace is sure. 'Tis all a gift. Let no man boast. For Jesus came to save the lost. Prodigal this evening. Yes, you are still alive unto God. You are still a child of God. You haven't sinned yourself out of the family of God. Your Father is supremely kind. Jesus still receives sinners and eateth with them, even backsliding ones. Jesus still saves the lost. And he saves those who deliberately go astray in forbidden ways. Return. Don't let Satan tell you it's no use. Don't let him tell you you've gone too far this time. The Father doesn't disown any of his children. But he will reprove you. He will rebuke you. But he'll never cast you away. Return, he says to you this evening. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. So he knows your past. And he knows your present. He knows your future, the unknown way. We may think we know a little of what it contains, but we don't really. But the Lord knows it from the end, from the beginning right through to the end. And he knows what you might need this evening for the unknown way ahead. And so ask him this evening, go to him as your father, as your friend, as your master. Ask him to give you of his grace. Ask him to give you that grace of submission. What his wisdom sees most fit must be surely best for you. Ask him to give you that grace to endure in the hour of temptation, in the hour of distress, in the hour of trouble, in the hour of deep sorrow. Ask him to give you that grace to stand in the hour of adversity and also in the hour of prosperity. We need as much keeping in the day of prosperity as in the day of trouble. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. He said to you, Mary. You know, he's never going to say to you, depart on the day of judgment. He'll never say to you, I never knew you. Because he's already proved to you that he knows you. Every blessing he's given you, in effect, is him saying to you, Mary. There's divine love, divine faithfulness, an acknowledgement that you are his. In every word he's ever spoken to you. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. He says, I know your sorrows. We read this evening, didn't we? It is a time of Jacob's trouble. There is none like it, but he shall be saved and delivered out of it. What are you in this evening? It may be like nothing else you've ever experienced. The darkness, the distress, the peculiarity. But you are going to be delivered out of it. There's going to be a hereafter. What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. This is not going to be the end. There is going to be a continuing. There is going to be a future. There's going to be a hereafter. And you are going to bless the Lord. Because you're going to prove his faithfulness. Some of you, you have proved it. And you're going to continue to prove it. He still says, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You may be at the end of the world this evening. God is there with you. You may have come to the end of your wisdom and your patience and your strength this evening, but God has not. He is still in control. He still has all power at his disposal. And he knows right where you are, and he can come to you in a moment. See here, Mary wanted to be with Jesus, but she did not know where he was. Lo, he was nearer than she thought. And this evening you might be saying, it would make all the difference if I could feel Jesus with me. Well, child of God, he's nearer to you than you realize. You look how near he was to Mary, but she didn't know him. He's nearer to you than you realize. He hasn't left you alone. And although this evening it is dark with you, so dark you cannot see him, and you feel to be at a distance from him, yet the Lord God Almighty, your Master, your friend, your Redeemer, your Lord can see you clearly. You go to that night when the disciples were rowing in that storm, and Jesus was alone in that mountain praying. We read, he saw them toiling and rowing. They couldn't see him, but he saw them, and he saw every stroke of those oars, every frightened cry of those men, every fear that trembled in their hearts. While they toiled in obedience to his command, he prayed for them, and they got safe to land. This evening, whilst you are toiling in obedience to the Lord's command, you had his direct command, didn't you, to go forth into this pathway. Now you've met with a storm that you did not expect. What are you to do? Go on. If you this evening could see your Jesus as you would like to see him, do you know what you would see? Him praying for you at the right hand of the Father. Praying for you that your faith fail not. Praying for you that you'd be given that strength to go on. Watching over you and with that unseen hand so that you don't sink. Waiting for that moment of his sovereign will when he will restrain the waves. Waves obey him, and the storms before him fly, and they still obey him this evening. It may be dark, but you know, have you ever thought of this? Even in the darkest day upon earth, when the thickest cloud is between you and the sun as it shines, above that cloud, that sun shines just as brightly. As if there were no clouds at all. The only difference is you can't see it. But it hasn't gone away, has it? It hasn't been extinguished. The clouds have not extinguished that sun. Nor have they diminished its strength to shine. So, child of God, your trouble and your unbelief this evening, which has clouded your eyes so you cannot see the Son of Righteousness, he's still shining as brightly as before that cloud came between him and you. And in his own sovereign time and way, he'll shine and break through that cloud. And you'll see he was there all along, watching over you, watching with you. He's nearer than you think. The cloud won't last forever. Waves obey him and the storms before him fly, even the clouds. Dost thou know the balancings of the clouds? Job was asked. He didn't, nor do you, but God does. And he has a balance, and he knows just when you need the cloud, and just when you need the full shining. Jesus said unto her, Mary, this was a word of divine love. No doubt it must have been said with great tenderness. Mary. The voice of her Jesus, who a few days before had suffered for her, had taken her sin, had nailed it to the cross forever. And he had risen with power to save her from her distress. And so it is with you, believer. Are thy sins beyond recounting? Like the sand the ocean laves. Jesus is of life the fountain. He unto the utmost saves. Hail the love. Hail the Lamb that came to save us. Hail the love which made him die. 'Tis the gift that God has given us. We will raise his honours high. There is nothing to compare with the love of Christ. The love of God in Christ. It is a holy love, pure and undefiled. It is an uncompromising love with the justice of God. And Jesus has paid in full, believer, all that you owed. Paid all charges. Then and for the time to come. A charge can only be paid once, not twice. If Jesus has paid all your charges, you have nothing to dread. You have nothing to fear. Your sins were left behind in that grave. They weren't resurrected with Jesus. They've been left behind forever. Mary, a word of pardon, a word of peace, a word of comfort, a word of consolation. Mary. I know more at Mary wonder, dropping tears around the grave, earnest, seeking all around her, where is he who died to save? Dying love her heart attracted. Soon she felt its rising power. He who Mary, thus affected, bids his mourners weep no more. Can you remember when dying love, the dying love of a dying Redeemer, first attracted your heart and drew you near to him? It drew you near to him because he first loved you. With that everlasting love, with that unending love, a love which had no beginning and will have no end. A love which brought Jesus right where Mary was, and a love which has brought Jesus right where you are, to bless you, to comfort you, to deliver you. A love which took Jesus from the highest throne of glory, that throne his by right, that love that constrained him to lay aside his robes and come right down to that cross on Calvary. There, believer, to suffer in your place. Bearing shame and scoffing root. In my place, condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. Some of you have known that love, have you not? And was it not beyond any other love that you have ever known? Is it not beyond any comprehension or any understanding? Thou who art love beyond all telling, Saviour and King, we worship thee, Emmanuel within us dwelling. Make us what thou would have us be. This is where Mary came to. Master, make me what thou wouldst have me be. Now it's not my will, but thine be done. That's what the word master means. She turned herself. It would appear that for some reason she was not facing the Lord Jesus. The original Greek infers that she turned herself right round. And is not that the case? When the Lord calls us by grace, we turn right round. We turn our back to the world. We turn our back to sin. We turn our back to the grave. We face the Lord Jesus. And backsliding, believer, this evening. That's what you need tonight. That's where you went wrong. You turned your back on Jesus. And this is what you need tonight, him to turn you right round. Because you can turn your back on him, you can't turn round yourself. And the blessed thing is, he has not turned his back upon you. He still looks upon you in tender love and mercy. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And in so doing, she acknowledged him as to who he was, a master, a friend, a king, a lord. What does this word master mean? It means that Jesus has a sovereign absolute right over you and over me to do as he will. He has a sovereign right to govern our lives, every aspect of them. He has a sovereign right to say where we should live, where we should work, how we should conduct ourselves, how we should bring up our children, where they should go to school. He has a sovereign right to say where we should worship. He has a sovereign right to command us to do things and to forbid us from doing other things. And he does it in love. He commands those things which are for our good. He forbids those things which will do us harm. Master, speak to me by name, O Master. Let me know it is for me. Speak that I may follow faster, with a step more firm and free. In the shadow of the rock where thou feeds thy little flock. Master, have you ever called him Master? It's one of his titles. You cannot know him as Saviour if you do not know him as Master. You cannot know him as Saviour if you do not know him as Lord and King. You will know all his offices or none at all. In that sense, there are many who want him as Saviour, but they don't want him as Master, and he will not have that. He will be both or none at all. By grace, you will come to love him as your Master. And we each have a Master. And our lives and our acts will express who our Master is. Our Master will be the one that we love, the one we have confidence in, the one we delight to please and obey, the one we follow. Who are you following? Is it Jesus? Or is it Satan? One or the other. You say, I'm my own Master. No, you're not. You can't be. It's impossible. You think you are. But if you're your own Master, why do you always do those things that Satan tells you to do? And who you serve here now, you will be in your Master's company in a never-ending eternity. Those who by grace are brought, as Mary Magdalene was, to serve Jesus as their Master by faith here, will one day be in his immediate presence in heaven hereafter and worship and serve him by sight in a perfect way. But if Satan is your Master here all your life, then you'll be in his immediate company, face to face, after death, to all eternity. Why do you think you can serve Satan here and then serve God in heaven? It cannot be. It never was. It never will be. Let us ask this question: who is our Master? Who do you obey? Who do you follow? Who do you have confidence in? Some of you, you've known what it is, haven't you, to follow Jesus in the way? He's led you out of the world. He's led you to forsake those things you never would have forsaken had your heart not been changed. To give up those things that once you loved with all your heart. He's led you to do those things that once you would never have chosen to do. What made the change? You changed masters. Because we are born in sin, Satan is our master. But when by grace we are called by grace in the new birth, Jesus becomes our master, and Satan is dethroned. Master, seek to obey your Master, first of all, and do it immediately. Here, Mary called him Master and then backed it up with actions, in obedience. contradiction to call him master and then not obey what he says. Mary wasn't like that here. Jesus said unto her, touch me not. She wanted to touch him. He said, touch me not. And in obedience, she stepped back and refrained from touching him, because he was her master and had the right to say to her, touch me not. She wanted to be with him. She wanted to stay with him. She wanted to be in his immediate company. But instead he said, go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. And she obeys. She leaves Jesus and walks in his way and in obedience to his sovereign command, she goes to the disciples and tells them word for word what her master has bidden her to do. She didn't ask for a further confirmation. She obeyed straight away. And that, beloved friends, is the greatest of faith. It obeys straight away. Ask God to give you that great faith and that great love that obeys straight away when your Saviour gives you a command. What has he commanded you to do? Has he commanded you to come out from the world? And may he give you that grace to do so. And you should rejoice if he said, come. He says, come. Where are you going to come to? You're going to come into his presence, where you so delight to be in, where you love, under his protection, under his care and keeping. Come, not go. As he said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. That's a command. Go and confess your sin to him. Leave nothing out. Tell him how bad you are, how bad you feel, how hopeless your case is. And you'll hear him say, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God deals in shells and certainties and wills. There's no uncertainty with him. As he said, go and confess your fault to another and seek grace to go and do it. And if someone comes to you and says sorry, you seek the grace to accept their apology. That is what the Saviour said. As he said, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And they didn't speak about the weather either. That word means they spoke of what the Lord had done for them. The Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written. And they shall be mine in the day when I make up my jewels. You seek grace to commune with the Lord's people on what he has done for you. Go to my brethren. So that's what he's saying to one of you tonight. Don't go and tell the world what he's done for you. They won't understand. They'll mock, they'll scorn, they'll ridicule. Go to my brethren, he says. And you, this evening, you seek grace to obey. Go to your brethren and tell them what he's done for you. Tell him how he came, drew near unto you and said, Mary, or whatever the word was, which had the same effect here. Tell how he made himself precious to you. Tell how he taught you by grace to acknowledge him as your master. Tell how by faith he brought you to see that all your sins were cast behind his back. Master. Let us, in our words and in our actions, crown him Lord of all with an obedient, consistent walk. Jesus said unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father." Mary Magdalene had to learn this lesson. Mary, I'm not going to be here for long. Mary, that relationship that you knew before I was crucified is not going to be restored. It's not going to carry on as it was before. I am going to ascend, Mary, very soon to my Father's throne, because my work here is done. And you are going to have to be left behind for a while to walk in the way of faith. Touch me not. But go to my brethren. And how lovingly here he speaks. Where were the disciples? He had told them he was going to rise from the dead on the third day. But where were they? They weren't here, were they? But he doesn't reprove them. He doesn't reproach them. He says, "Go to my brethren." With words of comfort, with words of peace, with words of love, with words of victory. Believer, you who now are having to bear the cross, you are having to fight the Lord's battles, you one day your share in the victories of the Lamb. Go to my brethren. Who were those brethren? Of course, they were the immediate disciples, but in a sense, this word is said to all of the Lord's people. Simon Peter, who had denied and disowned his Lord with oaths and curses, having promised he would never do so. John, who had forsaken him and fled. All the disciples who had slept instead of praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Thomas, who was doubting, yet he calls them brethren. And what about others who were not the immediate disciples? Adulterous David, blaspheming Saul of Tarsus, Samson, who lived that life of disgrace and yet died in faith, Manasseh, who made the streets of Jerusalem run with blood. And such were some of you. Yet he calls them my brethren. My brethren. Such is his love. Such is his tenderness. Such is his kindness. Go to my brethren. And say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. To Mary Magdalene was given this privilege to go and to tell the disciples, who were then commissioned to go forth and to tell the world by the ascension of the Lord, that Jesus was risen, as he had said, triumphant from the dead. Vain the stone, the watch, the seal. Christ has burst the gates of hell. Death in vain forbids his rise. Christ has opened paradise. He has ascended into heaven as a great high priest. And he has sat down again on that right hand of the Father on high. And in sitting down, God the Father showed that he approved and accepted The sacrifice that Jesus had made, you know, the high priest and the other priests were never allowed to sit down in the temple. And the reason was because the work wasn't done and because God did not accept the blood of bulls and of goats as a real offering to take away literal sin, and therefore the sin remained. Ceremonially, it was done as God commanded and it was accepted. But it needed richer blood than the blood of bulls and goats to wash away one sin. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, bears all our guilt away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. My faith would lay a hand on that dear head of thine, where like a penitent I stand and there confess my sin. I ascend unto my Father. Believer, you have a Father in heaven who fills the throne. There is a blood relationship, the blood of Jesus Christ, which has cleansed you from all sin. And to you this evening, he says, I have ascended on high to my Father, to your Father, to my God, to your God. And one day I will return in like manner to take you home to glory, to be with me there forevermore. Go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. May you and I see him by precious faith and serve him here below as our God, as our Father, as our friend, as our Saviour, as our Comforter and Guide, as our Sovereign Lord. And then be with him and worship him and adore him to all eternity to come. Jesus said unto her, Mary, and she said unto him, Master.
Collections last Lord's Day were £842.65, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Buss will administer the Lord's Supper after this service and receive Victoria into church membership. And Mr. Adrian Pickett will preach at our anniversary services tomorrow at 2:45 and 6:15. And collections will be taken for the Trinitarian Bible Society. And God willing, Mr. Stephen Hyde will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday School in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 403. Come, every gracious heart that loves the Saviour's name, your noblest powers exert to celebrate his fame. Tell all who fear the Lord below, the debt of love to him you owe. Hymn 403.
to forgive. O Lord, all that thy pure and holy eyes have seen wrong, in our worship of thy great and holy name, thus far this day. Be with any who now depart, watch over and go with them, and watch over and bless and draw near and go with those of us who now remain. At thy gracious command and invitation to come to the table of the Lord, to remember thy dying love, and remember any, Lord, who will watch from afar. And gracious God, in thy mercy, grant that each one of us may be found among thy brethren, for whom thou hast suffered, bled, and died. And may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and sweet communion of God the Holy Ghost, abide with us each now and forevermore. Amen.